clinic today, and I think it's the first time you had the coaches on the field.
Yeah, this is we've had the clinic every year since we've been here, which is an opportunity for us to interact with the coaches. We felt like we wanted to change it up somewhat this year, instead of having it at night, allow them to come out and watch us practice and see how we do business. And then after practice, after lunch, we're going to do the normal clinic things where our coaches are going to have an opportunity to speak to the high school coaches. And
you had a couple former Falcons in the group there, Schaefer and Forney. It's good to see them continuing giving back to the game of football.
Well, it is. It's great to see former players that are, you know, working with young men, because high school football is the pipeline for the NFL. And here in the state of Georgia, I firmly believe this. It's got the best coaching in all of in all the United States. They take it very seriously. The clinics that I've attended are not only well attended, but the coaches are very attentive, and they're always learning and wanting to learn new things. And there's, believe it or not, as coaches and at the NFL level, I enjoy listening to the high school coaches talk, because you can learn from them as well.
Coach, you talk about interacting, but how much of it is reconnecting for you?
Well, it is reconnecting. I think all of us as coaches, we've all started at different levels, and if it wasn't at the high school level, it was probably at the college level, and you had an opportunity when you're in college to spend a whole lot of time with coaches and recruiting and going into the high schools and visiting them. And this is just one of many of events. We have about five a year that we try to focus on the high school players and the high school coaches.
So I guess you got your first look at Toilolo last couple days.
Yeah, we did. He finished up his school obligations. He'll be leaving back out tonight to get back for graduation, but we were able to get him in here because he had finished his work, and I think he left off from his rookie mini camp. I think you can see that he creates some issues with his size, John, especially there in the red zone, and we look forward to seeing him compete next week in our mini camp, where we'll have, everybody will be here.
I know it's kind of sparingly you saw some of the rookies, but any of them stand out more than the others?
I think that all of them have done well. I think that the two corners that we drafted in the first and second round, you see their skill set, their ability to play man coverage, and that's one of the skill sets that we thought they had. And they've gotten an opportunity to go against really good players. When they have to line up and practice against Julio and Roddy and Harry and even Drew Davis, Kevin Cohn, it challenges them, because those, for the most part, are big physical guys. And that's where they're going to have to really work on their matchups, is the big receivers. Different than college ball, they're not going to be able to contact after 5 yards, so they're going to have to really use their athleticism, and both those guys are very athletic.
With Toilolo, he's so tall to us, the naked eye. He looks a little thin. Does he need to get stronger? Is that part of it for him?
John, believe it or not, one of the things that we were most impressed with was his ability to bend at 6'8" and the ankles and the hips, and the way that he fits up and his run blocking. Oftentimes you think guys that are that big are going to have a hard time winning the leverage battle. We always say in run blocking, low man wins, but he is got very good flexibility in the ankles and the hips. He's a big man. He's just so tall that it looks like he's 205, but he's not.
Coach, the next step, the mini camps, just for the guys that haven't been through that, how much of it is another step up for these guys, and is it another tier for a practice level?
Well, for us, our mini camp is really an opportunity to have the guys experience what's going to happen in training camp and during the season. Our training camp and season practice is sequenced very similar. These guys are going to have a meeting in the morning after lifting weights. In mini camp, we'll have a walkthrough out here on the field for about an hour with no helmet. We'll take a break for lunch. We'll come back, have meetings, and then have the practice in the afternoon. And that's the sequence that we will do in training camp with the meetings at night. And then it's the exact same sequence that we do during the season, with minus the meetings in the evening. So this will be the first time that they're going to experience how we're going to have our day set up for the majority of the time, the rest of the time that they're here.
Was there any evolution or improvement you saw with Holmes over the practice?
Yes. Lamar's really got his first time to get coached. You know, he didn't have an opportunity to participate in training camp last year, so he lost a lot of time. We were just trying to get him ready for games, and this was the first opportunity for us to really have an opportunity to take him through the whole sequence, the learning sequence, not only in the classroom, but on the field. And sometimes it's much more advantageous when you take the guy out on the field than just having him sit in the classroom. He gets to learn from, you know, he gets to learn from physically going out there and doing it. So I think Lamar's done a very nice job. I still think there's going to be a lot of competition in the offensive line. We as a coaching staff and as an organization will get together after the completion of the mini camp and really sit down and have a real long, hard evaluation and discussion about our depth chart and how our roster's coming into place after our off-season program.
Any of those position battles you've mentioned throughout OTAs surprised you or maybe impressed you more than the others?
No, I just think that the offensive line is an area that there's going to be a lot of battles in terms of who's going to be the seven and who's going to be the nine. The seven on game day and the nine on our 53-man roster. I think that there's, because of new faces in the secondary, there's going to be a lot of battles in the secondary for not only starting positions but for backup positions as well. I think the two young safeties that we drafted in the seventh round have shown a lot of skills that we like, and when they get the opportunity to really go out and play, they're going to be in the mix. As I said, this is probably going to be the most competitive battle, position-wise, that we've had since our first year here. There's certain positions that we obviously know who are going to hold them down, but there are a number that right now that we're not really sure. But competition brings out the best in everybody.
You mentioned Drew Davis. You got a good look at him with some of the wide receivers not being here this week. What have you seen from Drew?
Well, I think Drew has come a long way. You know, we basically used him situationally in years past, basically last year. He had, you know, his first touchdown catch in the against Philadelphia last year, so he's gotten a taste of what it means to score touchdowns as a wideout, and I think he's gotten better. The thing he has improved immensely on is his contribution in special teams, and when you're the fourth and fifth receiver, on the roster, and that's probably where he's battling for, is the fourth and fifth position. You've got to be able to contribute on special teams, and he has done that, not only in the return game, but in coverage units as well.